Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Styles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
You're with us on Mix 93.8 FM. It's Chris and Suzanne Styles with The Success Show, and we are absolutely delighted to be with you here tonight.
Yeah, indeed, and what a week. In fact, what a weekend. Spending time with the Continental Outdoor Team, the sales team for South Africa and Africa, and spending time with them in the beautiful Thornybush Private Nature Reserve, and taking them through Mine Power Safari. And wow, what an experience. I mean, how we loved training them and how they reacted to the material. My goodness gracious me, it was actually so brilliant to see transformation taking place in front of our faces.
Well, the thing with seeing transformation in that manner is, although we are so in love with this material, that we have been studying this for such a long time, you never quite know what it's going to be like for somebody else. And to have that opportunity to do that with them. So tonight we decided, as a result of that, we're going to be teaching you more and more about masterminding, the importance of finding a group of people that resonate with you on a deep level, that can offer you advice, guidance, and assistance, but in an extremely straightforward manner. This is not about asking friends for advice and hoping that they're going to say what you want to hear. This is about masterminding with a group of people that are going to tell you what you need to know.
Well, as I reflect on the weekend and the 3 days spent with Continental Outdoor, I really do have to chuckle, because when we were preparing for the actual seminar, a couple of the guys arrived slightly early, and they didn't realize that we were actually the presenters of the seminar. They thought that we were probably the event management team, and they were saying, oh, crumbs, it's going to be that usual sales seminar. I just can't handle this. I'd rather have pins shoved in my eyes than go through this, because I know what it's going to be all about: how to sell and how to close and how to pitch and how to stand and
overcoming objections.
Overcoming excuses, objections, and don't put your hands in your pockets. And they stood there, and I was literally wetting myself, because I could see the eyes rolling skyward, and it's like, oh, crumbs. We love going on seminar or conference, if you will, the annual conference, because it's a great time to get away from the office and actually to bond as a team. But the content, and you can, it's like, this is going to be so painful. And literally within a very, very short space of time, once they realized that what we were teaching them was not sales skills or sales techniques, because the thing is, sales teams know how to sell. But what we were doing is we were really working with them on a personal level. And how reassuring and also delightful to receive the feedback at the end of the conference, where they said, well, this was one of the best conferences ever. And it was because it actually focused on personal growth, and therefore the business development side just naturally tacked into it. So it was personal development driving business development, not business development driving results, which is the typical seminar.
Sure. And I think tonight we've actually got to say a huge hello to Darren Lalani, to Mike, Chris, Jared, to Lorna, Kelly, Kirsty, Patrick, Mandler, Manus, Tembi, Maria. I think we've got them all.
Paddy,
yeah. Absolutely. And so, you know, guys, hats off to all the hard work put in, because you know what? We were pretty big slave drivers. So when you're sitting there thinking about getting your own results and what it is that you want to do and how you want to change your business, how you want to drive better results, better sales, you've got to look at how you can help your people more.
Well, exactly. It's as Pastor Robert Watson always used to say to me when I Had the mastermind session with him on Saturdays. He used to say, Chris, it's just a few little minor mental tweaks will take you and a team to unprecedented performance peaks. And I just love that. And that's exactly what it was. In fact, at the end of the conference, people were saying, gosh, we knew this. We'd moved away from it, or we'd forgotten it, or we just needed this to be reaffirmed again. Or gosh, it was just connecting the few dots in our mind that we've been missing. And this is what is so fantastic. Well, watch that team. They are going to do things. They're gonna tear that market to pieces. I know that.
For sure. So if you are wondering what it is that you can do to get a team to work together better, let's start with getting them to mastermind. And if you've got any questions about masterminding, if you'd like to send us a message or a tweet, you can send us an SMS on 41348. SMSs are charged at R1.50, or you can tweet at Mix938FM. So come on, let's start with one of our awesome Secrets of the Millionaire Mind cards. I'm going to start with mine tonight. It's Manage and Train Your Mind. You have the natural ability to install self-empowering thoughts in your mind at any time, simply by choosing to focus on them. Yes, you do have the power to control your mind.
Powerful, huh?
That's very special.
Really, really powerful. And I think before I read mine, I really want to just congratulate the management team, the sales management team of Continental Outdoor, because they were bold enough and braver enough to step away from a conventional sales seminar. And when they approached Suzanne and I, they actually said, how do we present a seminar that will completely blow the team away in a positive way? And we said to them, well, you don't focus on the business, you focus on the people. And that's exactly what they did. They were brave enough to do that. And we receive feedback today that apparently it is just years since the team has been firing like this. And I know that this is just not short-term change. This is sustained change that they have picked up on. So well done for being brave and doing unconventional things. Now, my card from Harv Eker's Secret of the Millionaire Mind deck is be willing to do what's hard. If you're only willing to do what's easy, life will be hard. But if you're willing to do what's hard, life will be easy. Now, that was exactly the case with the seminar. A lot of the exercises were incredibly difficult because it focused only on the person, not on the business, not on the team, not on the results, not on the performance indicators, not on the performance contracts, just on the person. And there were many moments when we could actually see the people sitting there, and they were in an uncomfortable state, a state of discomfort, but they were growing, and the growth as a result of going through those areas of discomfort was just absolutely huge. So there's a massive lesson. Be willing to do what's hard. Now, our producer, Kudzai, has a card, and he's going to share that with you as well.
The fun part says, become conscious. Consciousness is observing your thoughts and actions so that you can live from true choice in the present moment rather than being run by programming from the past.
Wow.
Well, that's very special, because I always thought about, if you are fearful, you are living in the future. And if you are regretful, you're living in the past. So it's only when you are truly grateful that you are living in the present.
Oh, I do like that.
And I think that's something I've heard Doug Nelson say. Mm. I've heard Blessing say. Mm. We've heard Harv say. Mm. And we hear so many people say.
Anil Gupta.
Mm. Be grateful. So tonight we're going to be talking about masterminding. Now, who's opening with the reading, you or me?
You are.
Right, here we go. Every person who manages a business or a department of a business knows what a difficult matter it is to get employees to work together in a spirit even remotely resembling harmony. What a truth is that? Where two or more people coordinate in a spirit of harmony and work towards a definite objective, they place themselves in a position through that alliance to absorb power from the great universal storehouse of infinite intelligence.
I do love that.
It is a source to which the genius turns. It is the source to which every leader turns. It is the benefit that comes to all who mastermind following the mastermind principles. And, of course, written by Chris's ultimate hero, Napoleon Hill.
Oh, I do love Napoleon Hill. It's the source to which the genius turns, the source to which the leader turns. Now, how few leaders out there mastermind with their teams? How few even know how to mastermind? Guaranteed very few. They know how to bang on the desk and they know how to make a whole bunch of demands, but do they sit there and mastermind with a team in a harmonious environment such that the collective power of the minds raised to a level whereby elegant solutions to the challenges that they are seeking just absolutely appear, and without a huge amount of effort? Now, that's the beauty of masterminding. We're going to dig into that tonight.
Well, there's quite a few levels of masterminding too. In terms of a relationship, you can mastermind as a couple. And I think it's Henry Ford that said that his greatest mastermind partner was his wife. And in those days, it wasn't considered something that the woman of the house had a great impact on her husband, especially such a huge mogul that Henry Ford became.
Yeah.
But we've been talking so often to you about quantum leaps. And Chris is going to be sharing a story from U Squared with you shortly. But I was just thinking, I just saw this wonderful quote that says, "Never think linear about the future. Think in terms of leaps. Think leaps and always expect the unexpected." That's from the Seven Wonders of Joyful Jubilant Learning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But it's an incredible thing because we are so used to incremental achievements.
Well, that's it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 5%. H, the stock standard plan, the 10, 15, 20% increment year on year and year. And that's why we just love working with leaders and teams who are so tired of pedestrian results, who want to take those results and absolutely shoot the living daylights out of them and experience the joy of a quantum leap. Because once you've created a quantum leap, once you know how to repeat it again and again and again, and that's when the results just become absolutely spectacular. And it's never done through competition. It's always done through the creative process. And that is turning a fantasy into a theory, into a fact. We've covered that in previous shows. Now, I think it's rather apt, given that we are going to be talking tonight about masterminding and the power of masterminding and what incredible results masterminding delivers, and ideas that suddenly flow as the result of the mastermind, that I start with a beautiful story in the front of U Squared, which is also one of our favorite books, a book written by Price Pritchard. And he writes, "I'm sitting in a quiet room at the Millcroft Inn, a peaceful little place hidden back among the pine trees. It's just past noon, late July, and I'm listening to the desperate sounds of a life or death struggle going on a few feet away. There's a small fly burning out the last of its short life's energies in a futile attempt to fly through the glass of the window pane. The whining wings tell the poignant story of the fly's strategy. Try harder. But it's not working. The frenzied efforts offer no hope for survival. Ironically, the struggle is part of the trap. It is impossible for the fly to try hard enough to succeed at breaking through the glass. Nevertheless, this little insect has staked its life on reaching its goal through raw effort and determination. This fly is doomed. It will die there on the windowsill. Across the room, 10 steps away, the door is open. 10 seconds of flying time and the small creature could reach the outside world it seeks. With only a fraction of the effort now being wasted, it could be free of the self-imposed trap. The breakthrough possibility is there. It would be so easy. Why doesn't the fly try another approach? Something dramatically different? How did it get so locked in on the idea that this particular route and determined effort offer the most promise for success? What logic is there in continuing until death to seek a breakthrough with more of the same. No doubt this approach makes sense to the fly. Regrettably, it's an idea that will kill. Trying harder isn't necessarily the solution to achieving more. It may not offer any real promise for getting what you want out of life. Sometimes, in fact, it's a big part of the problem. If you stake your hopes for a breakthrough on trying harder than ever, you may kill your chances for success. Now, wow, what a story. And I think it just perfectly positions why masterminding is so important. Because when you have a challenge or a problem, remember, you cannot solve the problem with the same mind that created it. And if you created that problem, you need to change your mind in order to be able to find the solution to the problem. And the easiest way to do this is to seek the assistance of other minds and work with them in a harmonious environment. And that's the beauty of masterminding.
I love it. And just that is exactly what it is. And you can mastermind, as I said, in absolutely any environment. And I think it's such an essential thing for us to teach tonight around how do you just get that quantum leap? What's another way of becoming an invisible force for success? And I think masterminding is the only way to do this.
Well, it is. And Napoleon Hill, again, in the book Think and Grow Rich, writes that great power can be accumulated through no other principle. So what exactly is masterminding? Now, it's really a beautiful thing. In fact, it is something that we were initially introduced to by Bob Proctor, who obviously is a wonderful international success coach and mentor, and who has a love for masterminding and Napoleon Hill's material as well. In fact, it's very rare that you'll see Bob ever on stage without Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, in his hand, if ever. And what he did is he taught us how to mastermind. And once we'd learned how to mastermind, we used to then lead mastermind groups for his organization. And we led groups where people from all over the world would phone into a collective mastermind, and we'd start, and someone would table their challenge, and then the mastermind would begin to work. And as I say, you had people from Europe, from the States, from Australia, even one or two South Africans dialing in. And actually, as people were just beginning to throw their ideas into the mix, it's almost as if the energy gained more and more momentum. And the more the ideas began to flow, the more the momentum was built. And suddenly, ideas were just popping all the time. It was, what about this and what about this? And have you tried that? And, oh, goodness me, I've seen this. And, gosh, I've just had this thought come to me. And the beauty of a mastermind, and this is what I love so much, is there is no such thing as a rubbish idea. So when you are masterminding, and that's why it is so important when masterminding that there be harmony. When you are masterminding around a challenge that a person is experiencing or wanting to solve, all your attention, all your focus, every ounce of your energy at that moment has to be absolutely 100% focused and dedicated to that person and to that challenge that they're grappling with. It's not about you. If you have experienced something similar, taken a very, very brutal learning from it, and gained an enormous amount of wisdom around that topic at that moment, you share what you know freely and with love in order to be able to help the other person. There's no holding back. You're not sitting there with a smirk on your face thinking, oh, well, you'll learn the hard way, I know better, etc., etc., as is often the case in the workplace when one has these think tanks. And even though you're having a think tank, you can actually see that people around the table aren't thinking. In fact, some people are taking delight at the fact that someone else is maybe struggling, simply because somewhere there's been a bit of tension between them, if you will, in the business. So masterminding, that's why the environment is all about harmony. And in actual fact, it's a very, very loving environment. And you don't need to know the answer, because the thing is, the more you actually just begin to interrogate the problem in a very positive way and just throw ideas and not criticize each other, so it just begins to flow. And we've actually hosted mastermind sessions where when a question was tabled, nobody actually knew the answer, yet by the time we'd got to the end of it, we'd actually shot so many holes into the challenge that there were just new opportunities that had opened up new avenues of thinking, and that the person who'd actually tabled the challenge was just delighted because they'd seen potential new angles to go and explore. And a week later, when the same mastermind was held again, they brought their feedback, and it was just like, goodness, thank you so much. When I went to explore that, it led to this and led to that. And as a result of this, I found this and this and discovered that. And now I've just moved so far past the problem because I've now realized that this actually wasn't a problem. It was an opportunity. And that's why, again, Napoleon Hill teaches that every single seed or every single challenge or set of disadvantageous circumstances brings with it the equivalent seed of opportunity.
I love the way that it's something that you say a lot, Chris, and it is such an important part of what we do, is that you need to give us, or everybody needs to know, that every single opportunity brings every single situation of what
adversity
brings around an equal sets of opportunity.
And that's the beauty of the mastermind, is that you actually come up with elegant solutions. So when you sit down at the table, you are completely relaxed, completely open, and completely receptive to what other people are going to put on the table, ideas wise. And it helps tremendously if when you're masterminding, you're the least experienced person at the table, because it's fantastic to mastermind with people who know so much more than you, because that puts you on a very, very steep and exponential learning curve. But
well, isn't that what Scott Harris told us?
Absolutely.
You
need to be the dumbest, poorest
person at the table.
And this is really, it's what it's all about, is it's helping other people. And Napoleon Hill writes about the fact that leaders turn to masterminding for success. Well, the whole thing is, one of the primary roles of a leader is to serve. So when you mastermind, you are serving others, and you're absolutely serving them with love. Whatever you know or whatever comes up, you share. You don't hold back. You just empty yourself and you give of yourself freely. And that, again, speaks to the law of vacuum prosperity, and that nature abhors a vacuum. So the more that you give of yourself, the more you emptying yourself, the more you creating room within yourself for more growth, for more knowledge, for more spiritual aha moments, etc., etc. And it's just a really beautiful thing. So when we're talking about masterminding, this is not your typical boardroom boss barate. It's everything but that, because it's got nothing to do with trying to see who can walk away from the table as the winner.
Well, that's something, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that was something that I was so thrilled about in terms of the response for this weekend, because when you are part of a highly successful, high-performing sales team, the team is competitive. And what a beautiful experience to show that you can be part of the A team, but you don't have to be competing against each other on a continual basis. And that actually, in order to be part of an A team, you need to know how to create your success instead of competing either against your colleagues or other businesses. I mean, they always say competitors, and I'm always looking for a realistic terminology for that, for another company that does the same thing. Because we use this word competition all the time. We've got to be winners. We've got to compete. We've got to beat our competitors. We've got to grind them into the ground. And all you're doing, if you're doing that, is actually eroding your profit share too. Because if you're grinding, their prices, you're reducing your prices. So it's got to be not around price, but about performance and about being part of the A team. Trying to find us tracks for the show that Mitch mix in with the topic for tonight. You're listening to Chris and Suzanne Stiles on The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM. Now, think about this. Trying harder is not necessarily the solution for achieving more. Now, how many times have you heard, if you want to get it right, just try harder?
And the other thing is, there is no try. You either do or you do not do. So Isn't that just actually such a disastrous statement? Try harder. When you begin to really break it down, you realize that try just doesn't exist, and try harder is just absolutely stupid.
Well, it is, because you're setting yourself up for failure, and sometimes, in fact, trying harder is a big part of the problem, because your goal never changes. But how you get to your goal can change. So if you're like that fly and you're just going to try harder to fly through the window, you're just going to get exhausted and die.
And disheartened.
And disheartened. Yeah. So, and you think that you're not going to be able to achieve your goal. So if you stake your hopes on a breakthrough by trying harder than ever, you might actually kill your chances for success. And this is part of our programming. It's one of our paradigms. It's our habitual behavior to take logical, progressive steps. Now, sometimes you've actually got to say, I'm not doing it this way.
Hmm.
I'm going to do it a different way.
Absolutely. And at this moment, it's a perfect time to bring in the story of Henry Ford. Now, I'm sure Henry Ford needs absolutely no introduction to most of you, especially when you think of the Ford motor vehicle. And Henry Ford began his business career under the handicap of poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance. Now, just think about that. Poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance. Well, that's quite a start. It's a pretty tough set of circumstances to get through. Within the inconceivably short period of 10 years, Mr. Ford mastered these three handicaps, and within 25 years made himself one of the richest men in America. Now, I'm reading again from Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. How I love this book. Then Hill goes on to write, there is little, if any, doubt that Henry Ford was one of the best informed men in the business and industrial world. The question of his wealth needs no discussion. Analyze Mr. Ford's intimate personal friends, some of whom have already been mentioned, and you'll be prepared to understand the following statement. People take on the nature and the habits and the power of thought of those with whom they associate in a spirit of sympathy and harmony. Wow, now that's powerful stuff. Hill then goes on to write that Henry Ford whipped poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance by allying himself with great minds whose vibrations of thought he absorbed into his own mind. Through his association with Edison, Burbank, Burroughs, and Firestone, Mr. Ford added to his own brain power the sum and substance of the intelligence, experience, knowledge, and spiritual forces of these four men. Moreover, he appropriated and made use of the mastermind principles throughout the methods described in this book. President Franklin Roosevelt brought the best minds of the country to Washington to form a mastermind group he called his Brains Trust. So there you go. There's Henry Ford. And did he have a great start in life? No. He had massive obstacles to overcome, but he surrounded himself with brilliance. And because of that, and because he masterminded with them, he rose to their level. He took his consciousness higher. He elevated his awareness. He elevated his vibration to the powerful vibrations and awareness and consciousness of these giants. And as a result of that, he became the richest man in the world.
So who are the people that you respect within your work environment? If you have a small business, within your business environment, not necessarily within your business directly, but who are people that you have learned to call upon or to actually emulate, and look at whom you may find would be interested in masterminding with you? And it's absolutely essential that in a mastermind group you resonate with each other, and that as you add members, and this should never get to, I think, any more than sort of 7 or 8 people, because masterminding is a very, very disciplined action. It requires an open mind, because you literally do release yourself to the mastermind, because you are not going to take things personally. You are going to listen, because the answer may very well, and in most cases, to your question lies within the mastermind. And you, when you believe that your answer is there, you understand that you're going to create the results of, that you want. Now think of that. By getting together with a group of mastermind people, this is like-minded people, but people that have achieved more than you, some of whom may be on the same level of, as you, but it's great to have a mix, because you are actually going to be bringing problems and challenges that you would like a solution for to the mastermind.
Absolutely. And the thing is, right now we're talking and we're focusing on business, but the mastermind extends so much beyond business. Let's just take a marriage.
For sure.
Now, that's something that Suzanne and I are massively passionate about, is mastermind marriages, whereby the partners, the marriage partners, actually align their minds. They align their thoughts around common goals, common objectives, common values. They work towards specific outcomes, and they do so in a harmonious sense. If you think of how many rotten marriages there are out there where people are just busy destroying each other, destroying themselves in the process, their minds aren't aligned, it's just an absolute battlefield. And how sad, how desperately, desperately sad, because the thing is, the children become a product of that environment. And they grow up with all this virus code in their heads around what a marriage should look like, when in actual fact it doesn't look like that at all. And it's something that we are desperately passionate about, is working with couples around aligning them into a mastermind marriage, which just delivers such beauty and such wonderful results, and such productivity and such love. And sad to say, there are so few mastermind marriages. In fact, I think masterminding is something that should be taught to people before they even decide to tie the knot, because when you mastermind effectively, well, it's just amazing how all the challenges just literally disappear into thin air and vaporize.
Well, I love the actual principles of mastermind meetings, and I'm going to give you the headlines of what the mastermind principles are. And it's basically, I release, so it means that you're going to release yourself to the mastermind, because you're going to be strong when others are helping you. I believe. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? I believe. Now, how many times have we heard that seeing is believing, when actually believing is seeing? And it's around having faith about what it is that you want to do. So the second principle is I believe, and that is about the combined intelligence of the mastermind, because that combined intelligence is going to give you a wisdom far beyond your own.
Well, it's interesting when you look at the mastermind. Now we can bring someone like Gandhi into play. And I always love bringing this into any teachings around masterminding, because I think the example of Mahatma Gandhi really brings to the fore the power of what a mastermind is. And he'll actually write that Gandhi was not eccentric, but he was the most powerful man of his generation. And he was probably the most powerful man who ever lived, and his power was passive, but it was real. So if you actually look at the methods through which he attained his stupendous power, it may be explained in a few words. He came by power through inducing over 200 million people to coordinate with mind and body in a spirit of harmony for a definite purpose. Now, just think about that. That is absolutely huge.
200 million.
He came by power through inducing over 200 million people to coordinate with mind and body in a spirit of harmony for a definite purpose. And he achieved that through masterminding. And Hill actually goes on to write that Gandhi accomplished a miracle, for it is a miracle when 200 million people can be induced, not forced, to cooperate in a spirit of harmony for a limitless time. And he then writes, if you doubt that this is a miracle, try to induce any two people to cooperate in a spirit of harmony for any length of time. And don't we see this in the workplace, in marriages, etc., etc.? So what an incredible person Gandhi was. And it was because he had the spiritual awareness and the spiritual consciousness and the understanding of masterminding that he realized that at that level you're actually working with collective energies.
Well, and it's such an essential part there. So if you think about the next principles of masterminding, it's that I understand. And it's around understanding that with a mastermind, you're going to find it a lot easier to create positive results in your life. And when you're opening it, looking at yourself, your problems and opportunities from somebody else's point of view. How many times aren't you too close to that problem that you can't see the wood for the trees?
Well, the fantastic thing about masterminding is that in order to mastermind effectively, you need to give up your right to be right. And that in itself brings massive personal growth, because we always have to be right. And
Harvaker always says, yeah, you can be right or you can be rich. Yeah. You can't be both.
Exactly. And when you learn to give up your right to be right, well, it's just amazing how appreciative you become of other people's ideas and inputs. And the moment you actually begin to see the value in what other people have to bring to the table, as opposed to it's my way or the highway, or I'm the boss and everything has to be done my way, and others' ideas are just merely little bits to be added to my mega idea. Well, you know, how about just getting over yourself, get a stepladder and get over yourself and understand that everybody's idea is actually equally as good as yours. Maybe you're not seeing their ideas for what they are because you're so wrapped up in your own.
Well, think about it. I decide to release my desire totally in trust to the mastermind. Now, this is an essential part, because so often we don't choose whom we share our dreams and desires and goals with. And we choose to share them with people that will belittle them, will belittle you, and that will not actually love, support, and help you grow with your goal. So you decide to release your desire into the trust of the mastermind. And this is an absolutely hugely special one. I forgive myself for mistakes that I have made. I also forgive others who have hurt me in the past. What a great discipline of masterminding, that you forgive yourself and others. And that I ask, how many times are you afraid to ask somebody to help you?
Well, forgiveness is huge, as is awareness. And if I take this this past weekend and a lot of the work that we did, we could actually see people making the decision to forgive themselves and to be able to move forward. And that is just so massively important, because when you forgive yourself and you forgive others, you just absolutely sever all those massive anchor lines that are holding you there and keeping you back from surging forward. And notice I say surging forward, not moving forward.
Yeah, because this is all talking about quantum leaps. This is not talking about incremental increases. So you have to ask. You've got to ask the mastermind to hear what it is that you want. Share with them your goals, your dreams, your desires, because they may truly have the wisdom that's going to help you. And that you actually say, I accept. I know, relax and accept, believing that the working power of the mastermind will respond to my every need. Now, how easy is it to have that faith? It's not easy. I mean, Chris often quotes that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you'll be guaranteed for success. And that's a huge thing, because this is what it is all about in terms of masterminding. That's why you choose your mastermind group carefully. These must be people that hold the same inherent moral values as you do.
Absolutely. And also, if you're going to really play big, what's the point of surrounding yourself with a mastermind group who just want to play small? They're going to be holding you back. And it's just massively important in terms of your growth and your awareness and absolutely everything that you do. Really try and surround yourself as much as you can with people who know a lot more than you do. Who have been through a lot more than what you have, who have made a lot more mistakes than you have, who have a hell of a lot more money than you have, because you're going to learn, and as long as you're learning, you're growing. And there's also ways of giving back, because the thing is, as you grow, so people will be approaching you, asking you to help them. And as you have received, so give. And give freely, give generously, give with love. Sit down with them, explain to them, teach them, share with them what knowledge you have. and do so graciously, and just know that as you sow, so shall you reap. That's just how it works.
Well, I just love it that tonight I'm actually getting to quote all Chris's favorite quotes from Napoleon Hill, but he remembered that it takes no more effort to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty.
I do love that.
And, you know, mediocrity is not a prize. It is not something to aim for. And it's such an incredible thing. And just think about it. Are you the master of your fate? Are you the captain of your destiny? In fact, are you even feeding your soul? You cannot do everything on your own. You have to have a mentor. You have to be part of a mastermind group in order to actually fulfill your dreams, goals, and your desires. And think about how much more you could achieve if you have that mastermind group. And I can see, I can actually see the looks on some of your faces. You've got that little voice going, yeah, what if I share my dreams with somebody? They're going to steal my ideas or my idea. If you think you're only having one idea, I've got news for you. You've got to have more energy than just one single great idea.
Well, as we wrap up tonight's show on masterminding, there's a beautiful paragraph written by Napoleon Hill again. And he writes, a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than will a single battery. An individual battery will provide energy in proportion to the number and capacity of the cells it contains. The brain functions in a similar fashion. This accounts for the fact that some brains are more efficient than others and leads to this significant statement. A group of brains coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony will provide more thought energy than a single brain, just as a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. Through this metaphor, it becomes immediately obvious that the mastermind principle holds the secret of the power wielded by people who surround themselves with other people of brains. Beautiful.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, remember, all our awesome Mix FM listeners, we have got a special offer for you for the National Achievers Congress South Africa 2014. The headline speaker is Chris Gardner. He's the inspirational figure behind the book The Pursuit of Happiness. Obviously, he was played by Will Smith in the movie. Tom Hopkins, who's the world's leading authority on sales, will be there. And back by popular demand is the awesome Les Brown. And I was thinking of him earlier when we were talking about, you know, aiming big, and if you fall over, get up. You know what Les Brown says? If you're going to fall over, fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. And I absolutely love him. So we still have the lovely offer for Mix FM. It's nacsouthafrica.com/MixFM. It's a 2-for-1 deal. If you book, register and pay for one ticket, and then you email your information through to Success Resources in Johannesburg, and I think that's william@srpl.net.
That's right.
You will actually get a second ticket free. And watch out, we're going to be having some interviews very soon.
Absolutely. And if you want to know more about that, you can actually go to our library of podcasts, and that's makesyouthink.podbean.com. And if you go and have a look at a show from about 2 to 3 weeks ago, there's actually an interview that we had with William Bardnost from Success Resources South Africa. We had him live here in studio, and he explained the offer, and that offer still stands. So do access that. And tonight's show will go up probably in about 2 or 3 days' time on Makes You Think website. So go and have a look under the blog on makesyouthink.co.za. And for all our other shows, and I think when we post this one, it'll be our 102nd show. If you want to access any of those, which is a library, a free library of podcasts, inside of it are some of the most fantastic interviews that we've done with some of the world's leading experts on mind and money. We've had great business icons like James Kahn from Dragon's Den, and you can find that at makesyouthink.podbean.com.
Also, we've got a host of absolutely fabulous books for you to download. We've got The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Wattles. We've got The Richest Man in Babylon by George Klassen. We've got Jennifer Behrens, Your Invisible Power. Go onto the website, have a look around on makesyouthink.co.za. Really start working on your personal development for your career and business development. They go hand in hand. You've been listening to Chris and Suzanne Styles on The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM.
Absolutely. And final comment from me is masterminding really is the way to go. What you will release in your team in the way of energy and thoughts will just be incredible. And we've taught a very high level lesson tonight around masterminding. If you're ever interested around knowing how to practically implement masterminding in your business, and there really is a knack and a recipe to this, give us a shout. We'd be glad to teach you and show you how to do that. Have a superb week.
Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Styles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
Hits from yesteryear and today. Find a home at Mix 93.8 FM Legendary Radio.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing green to red. Turning over TV stations, situations running through my head. Looking back through time, you know it's clear that I've been blind. I've been a fool to open up my heart to all that jealousy, that bitterness, that ridicule. Saturday, I'm running wild, and all the lights are changing red to green. Moving through the crowds, I'm pushing, chemicals are rushing in my bloodstream. Only wish that you were here, you know I'm seeing it so clear. I've been afraid to show you how I really feel. Admit to some of those.